Brother Tom.
Good morning.
I'm not all here.
Isn't it great to be a Christian?
Well.
Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Ephesians 3:20.
Several years ago, I went to the state sale, and they had a
amen.
The people had a pretty good library, and it was religious.
Well, I know it's a busy
they had a
week,
set of commentaries that I had seen back in college
together
in the
with
library,
lots of things going on.
The Interpreter's
folks
Bible.
Folks are graduating, folks are getting married, everybody
the
wants to
Bible
do everything
is a liberal
at the same time. Spread it out,
production
folks, come on, get your act together so we don't have to try to push everything into one thing. I'm only kidding. That's
it,
the way life
a,
is.
Got a couple
and,
of translations.
That's the way we
got
work
a,
with it when it
a
comes our way.
Where it talks
just
about the
happy about
the
so many of
technical
you being honored, so many
way,
of you that are graduating, and those that are marriages that we had just yesterday, we're happy about those couples. And
I
wish
well,
them all the very, the very best.
I think 14 volumes.
As we take a little time this morning to get into the Word of God, the book of all books. I invite you to turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 8,
and
we're going to look at those first initial verses 1 through 3, and we're going to talk about what it means to be in Christ Jesus for just a little bit. I know we probably all have some ideas about that already in our minds, but I want to just encourage you with the teaching of the message of the Word for you to join along with us as we talk about
want to emphasize the fact
being
that
in Christ.
Elder, pastor, overseer,
therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
I want to restate that these qualities
through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit
of
is life.
Of
set you free
men.
From
they
the law of sin and death.
Of all
for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh,
but,
God did
anyway,
by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful
statement.
Flesh to
and
be
said,
a sin
I've
offering.
Who was the editor,
we are so grateful
right now,
that God
says,
has took
Christian
up
home
our
is one
call.
Of the finest flowers
amen.
Of the Christian life.
We really
and there is
truly
no
are,
greater
that
service that a Christian leader can give than to establish and guide such a home. The Christian vocabulary is derived from the family relationship, calling God Father.
What a great
Jesus,
thing to realize
brother,
that there's no condemnation
a society,
in Christ
a brotherhood.
Jesus.
And heaven.
I don't know how familiar all of you might be with the name Bobby Morrow, but I know a family or two over
Christian
here
lies
might know something about that name.
Have been debased
it seems as if this fellow born in Horace, Texas, grew up on a farm in San Juanito, Texas.
Is unfamiliar. The terms
would grow up to
be
a great crack straw,
by convincing
a great Olympians,
of the
member of the body of Christ, who attended out at the Abilene
and
Christian College, as it was then called.
And
in 1956,
that's where we're
in those Olympic
today.
Games,
we
he won
the
three different
leaders,
medals.
Elders
was awarded those gold medals
family
at that particular time for his accomplishments
made,
then.
Decisions
he grew, of course, in fame notoriety because
them
of his accomplishments in the athletic field.
And the
he was invited
to
be a guest on all kinds of different things. TV, of course, is getting popular, so he was
all about.
Invited for some of those
now,
kinds
I know
of
that
events,
we were
as well as
this class
on the cover
week,
of magazines,
we covered
cereal
the,
boxes,
the section on
quite the
husband
quite a
wife.
Star in terms
but
of
that's where I want to
rank.
Start again because I kind of revised it and changed it up and added a few ideas
before the Texas legislature.
So we'll start there.
I don't know how many
and
of you are to
move
that.
On from there. And we're going very
Texas
tediously through all these
the
things.
The title
I hope that there's good things
great
that come out of it.
Was
it's a help to me
great.
To restudy all these matters.
Now, probably some of the legislature may have assumed he was going to talk about one of those great friends that he had.
in
out in his collegiate days, or somewhere in his high school days. I don't know. But that's not what he spoke about.
Church.
You know what he talked about.
So without
he affirmed that the greatest grace,
and then we'll get right into it.
Great.
Father in heaven, we do thank you for the day.
The Christian race.
We thank you that it's the Lord's day.
Yes, that was the greatest
of all
races.
This group of people that are gathered.
He affirmed that and spoke to
that
to the Texas legislature on that day. He talked about what it meant
to
be in
overseers of the church.
Jesus.
We pray that we might
very dear
read them, study them. May our faith in Christ.
The 20th president of the United States.
May we have
was,
greater zeal
James
be
A.
active
Garfield.
In the kingdom. Father,
he's also the president that served
Jesus
in the very shortest of terms.
He
only served some
in his name
4 months or so.
Amen.
Before, that is, he was shot.
Paul says that the overseer
train station in New Jersey
must be the husband
Charles
of one
Gittrow.
Wife. Now, the literal Greek there is
at point blank
a
one-woman
man.
It just kind of goes to show
that's
the way things were in those days and how things were medically.
Whether it's one at a time.
He was shot on July the
2nd. Through life. Yeah,
he lived
just says,
through September
man.
Up to in the, about September 18th,
to
I believe, before he finally died.
In our brotherhood and in the
world.
Religious world at large, it
he was also a fellow who was quoted as saying,
of
I have stepped down from
now
the pulpit of preaching Christ.
If you'll remember,
take on the
in the
task
19th
of being the president of the United States.
Matthew, Jesus gave
there have been a lot of
some
famous people
concerning marriage
all I'm getting
and divorce.
At and saying,
and he kind of perplexed
have
the
recognized
apostles, and they said,
or
you know, if that's the case with a man, it's better not to
what
marry.
It means to be in Christ.
Then Jesus made a statement. And, it's
and I'm going to say to you, and you're going to say amen, because I'm not able to tell you
can
all of the
statement.
Many things it means.
He says there's
to be
eunuchs
in Christ,
that are natural born eunuchs. There's
lesson.
Eunuchs that have been
I don't intend this to be
eunuchs
theory.
By men. There
I've
are eunuchs who are
that, I think
that way
are
because
the highlight
of the kingdom
of living.
God.
The Christian
and,
life. What being in
it's
Christ means. And you may think of other things about your own self
that
comes to mind to you what
and then in
is
1 Corinthians 7 and 7, Jesus,
think about
Paul
living
is
your
talking
life
about marriage and divorce and
on
the marriage relationship. And,
our writer in the book of the book of Romans
he wishes that outlines
was
as
wonderful
was.
Things to us today. In those short few verses about
not
there not
that
being any condemnation,
that.
And we'll speak about that
member,
in just
this
a little
congregation
bit.
Could
if we walk after the Spirit of God,
this
we know that that's an important
no,
thing.
He couldn't be.
But let us
but
begin
really,
with this idea
about that, statement. I made
that,
that statement last year,
we are
last
born
week, and I put
kingdom.
This, I revised our...
You remember when this man,
the question is meaningless,
right,
because they are not here.
Chapter 3.
Period.
And Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he said, Master, we know
in the
thou
New
art a teacher come from
they
God.
They never served
no man
as
do the
elders in the
thou
various congregations
except God be
where
with.
They were.
We
as
all
far
say
as the
amen
record
to
goes,
that,
they,
what
they
we've
were
read,
always,
what
you know,
we know,
they,
we understand
moved from place
Jesus
to place.
The Son of God.
Jesus was never
and
a
Nicodemus,
member
of course,
of the eldership
making an affirmation
of the Jews.
Of that.
The elders were the ones
and
who were
Jesus responded to him and told him, except, of course,
he, trouble with the elders,
he was born anew.
In the Jewish community.
Except
but
he
anyway.
Became anew.
Then,
except he be born anew.
In the notes here in the middle
the
of page
of
1, it says.
And Nicodemus
that,
understood that as maybe some kind of a physical birth. And,
you know,
of course,
it,
was
it's
puzzled
without
and
question that the
said to Jesus, how could a man be born
an elder, pastor, overseer to be a male?
I mean, how could he enter
be the
his
husband
mother's
of one
womb
wife,
be born
regardless
again.
Of whether it's sequentially
it's not that
or
kind of
one,
birth,
you know, all one for whole
that isn't
lifetime
what Jesus was talking
or not.
About. So he said to him, except the
this
man
matter
be
of
born,
if they are married, then these
to
things
be born,
apply.
Be born of the
I think
water
that's stretching the point.
Could not enter into the kingdom
because
of
the
heaven.
Whole idea here
Jesus
is you know, that
was
they
saying
are family oriented,
that
family
in order
leaders,
to be a
family
follower
leaders,
and be in Christ,
lead the family
you needed
of God.
To be born into the
that's,
kingdom of
that's
God.
That's what it's all about. So
you
I think
to come
if
to grip
idea
with
is,
the idea
in my mind,
of what this kingdom
apply,
was all about.
They need
it
to
is
be married.
The new birth.
And if they're not
that
married,
he speaks
then
of there.
They might be good consultants.
And the Apostle Paul tells
us
in Romans chapter 6,
at this
as he's explaining
now
to
then,
the brethren at Rome, Know
we
you
have
not that
in
the
church
of
today
were baptized
some
into
that
Jesus
are advocating
Christ, were baptized
the,
into his death. That's another thing it means
women
to be in Christ.
Preachers,
that is to be buried
women elders,
into the death of Christ as well.
Even in our town,
therefore, he says, we are buried
are
with
women,
him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father,
but
that we should also be in the likeness of his death. We should also walk in the newness
do you read
of his
in
life.
The New Testament?
And if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death,
history.
We should also be in the likeness
saying,
of his resurrection.
I'll just arbitrarily put a thousand.
And Paul
BC
is writing in the book of Galatians. He says, we're all called
like
the
that?
Children of God by faith. In Christ Jesus, for many of you
so
that have been
from?
Baptized into
where
Christ
these ideas
have
about
put off
a woman preacher
Christ. He's
come
talking
from?
About this
well,
new birth, being born into God's
to
kingdom.
The women
when Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians
in the
12,
Western world,
and at verse 13,
United States in particular,
he says, for by
now, then,
one spirit are we all baptized into
there,
one body. Whether
mean?
We be Jews or Greeks, bond or free,
and it's not from church
all
history,
been made to walk free.
It's come from the world. If it's coming from the world,
when I say that there are a number of
that
things
that
need
to
be
church,
in Christ, there's a couple of more that have been thrown our way. This idea of being
God,
in the body of
and
Christ,
the kingdom of God,
being added
which,
to that.
Is,
we talked about that
running,
in our marriage ceremony
and following
yesterday,
will,
how it is that
you know, it,
the New Testament writers have depicted
Christ
as the groom
and if
the
you
church
want to know what,
as
what
the bride,
I think about the world,
and
what the
as,
world, read these passages
we are
John
subject
15,
to Christ,
19,
the Lord's wives
should
be subject to their
John
husband,
3 and 1.
The Lord.
And
and
the world,
why, or excuse me, husbands
Father,
are to love wives
love
even as Christ
there,
loves
they are diametrically
the
opposed to one another.
Another part
and
of
if
the
a man's wife dies, he's free to marry
Christ
another woman without any condemnation.
But I want to just emphasize
in, concerning widows in that 7th chapter
Christ.
Of 1 Corinthians,
being
he encouraged the younger
the
women to
of
get
Jesus
married.
Christ
that
and raised to
married,
walk in the newness of life.
Remarried.
And then because of that, when Paul is writing in the book of Ephesians,
that, but,
chapter 1,
in
verse 3, he tells us that we have been blessed
under the,
with all
you know,
spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. So there's
the
another
thing
one
could
of
be
the
said about a man.
What it means to be in Christ, it means
both ways.
We have
a widow
all
or a widow
God's
certainly is free
that are
to
there.
Be to
and
to
it
remarry.
Just goes on and on.
In the
also,
case of a
it means
person,
while we are in Christ that we are to be new
the reason for divorce,
together.
And if a man is divorced,
when Paul
you know,
is writing in
2
Corinthians 5 and at verse 17, you know this verse,
he was
I'm
condemned.
Sure.
I said there was, you know,
therefore, if any person, any
that,
man,
and
be
these
in
questions
Christ,
must be resolved to ensure that he is above reproach.
Old things
you remember
passed away,
that was the first
behold,
thing that Paul said about an overseer in verse 2. An overseer must be above reproach.
You become
and if you've
a
got
new
a
kind
about
of
marriage, then
and this is what we look forward to—the walk in the newness of life, as Paul has
but,
stated it in the book of Romans, chapter 6.
You know, the whole context implies that the elder
we used
is
to
a
be
man
of the world. We used
a family
to
who is honestly
go in the ways of the world, but
family,
now that we are in Christ, we are
the
changed, and we become obedient
God.
To the spiritual
thing. Family's not dysfunctional.
And we find ourselves
he's
following
not,
Jesus Christ. As our Savior and our Mentor.
And,
we know
and if
that
he remarries and
Paul
has children,
later on in the book of Romans,
a thinking man,
chapter
12, a man that's really thinking
he's encouraging
the
them
you know, he,
by the mercy of God
that, will be
that they present their bodies as a living
not,
sacrifice,
have a,
one that's holy and one that's
you know,
acceptable
that,
unto God, which is your reasonable man. Service, he says.
You know, requiring
and that we are not conformed to this world, but being
requiring a church leader to be married would tend, I didn't say
mind.
It would negate, but it would tend
good,
to make less likely some of the horrible missed examples that we find among the
that's what it
celibate
to be
clergy
in, Christ,
in
be
religion
person,
today and
to
throughout the
creature.
Centuries.
And
good
it also
family
means
decisions
that I have a hope
good
of heaven.
Elder, pastor, overseer decisions.
Let not your hearts be troubled.
Would anyone like to say anything
you believe
else
in
about
God, believe also,
one man,
in my father's
man.
House, there are many men. If it
and
were not so,
must be would have the husband moved. Of one wife.
I go to prepare
that's
a
the way
place
the New American Standard Version puts
where
it.
I am.
There may be other
also, right?
Translations.
Jesus is going to prepare our place.
Anyone want
to? We may be with our heavenly Father.
Said
something that God promises
I
us.
I think they're
and something
accurate,
that the Apostle Paul reassures us as he writes
have you read
to Timothy
all
in
2 Christian
Timothy
Chronicle?
Chapter 4. He says to him,
Christian
I'm now ready
if
to be offered.
If your name is on the
I have fought a good fight.
You're supposed to be getting the Christian
I have finished the course.
If you read
I have kept
section,
the faith.
The
henceforth
edition,
there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness
page, is,
that God is going to give not
faith,
only to me but to all
that
those that obey.
About
we have this great hope of heaven.
Preachers.
That's our future, brethren.
I haven't
we not only have a heavenly
it,
Father,
I look
and automatically
sure enough,
get a
it is.
Family of God. We have a future with God. Isn't that right?
Read it
hello?
In light of what,
okay. Seeing if you're alive out there. And then we have new obligations, don't we? When we're in Christ, we recognize that we have a new approach. Jesus said it like this. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now what he was answering was, don't worry about the things that are in the world out here. Or don't worry about
the
things that you need to
of,
think you need to have. God is going to provide
and
them.
What did Paul
rather
tell
seek ye first. This
he
is
said,
the new
I
obligation.
Urge you upon my departure from Macedonia
first,
to remain
the kingdom
in
Ephesus,
so
and
instruct
righteousness,
certain men.
All of these other things will be yours.
Doctrine,
they'll be added unto
or to pay attention to myths or endless
God provides them for us.
To mere speculation,
when he says unto us that we are to deny
God,
ourselves,
God,
that we are to pick up our cross
faith,
daily and follow him,
come?
We know that that is a new obligation
hearing,
that
hearing
we have.
The word of God.
Something
okay.
That we learn to
now
do
said,
now that we are in Christ Jesus.
I thought of something that I
the writer Luke says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 that Jesus went about doing good. That's another one of the
we're
things
not gonna go there.
We practice. We go about doing good. That's what it means.
Let me just say this.
Jesus. Why? Because it's
church
always
and
right.
Must
do
remain
right
separate.
Do
I mean, if you put church
good.
First in
him
government.
To do good, do
you got
not,
problems.
Says James, to him
if
is,
you put the government
well,
first
wrong,
in the church, you got a bunch
so we
more.
Go about
there are two entities.
Doing good.
Ah,
that's what God has called us.
I might have some private ideas
there's
about
therefore
it,
now
I
no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus
this
who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See? And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of
no, you
sin.
It's a good thing.
Death.
Now then,
for what
I,
the law could not do,
that
and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son
oh,
in
yeah.
the likeness
in,
of sin.
I did read
flesh,
far enough in some
and
comment about
sin,
an article in the Christian Chronicle
in
that
the
talked
flesh.
About there being prophets.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us.
That is a
who
truth.
Walk not after the flesh.
What
but
does
after
a prophet
the
do?
And then, brethren, I'd be.
What is a prophet? We spent a long time on studying prophets.
What it means to be to be a prophet.
He tells the word of God. All right. Were there any prophetesses in the Old Testament? Who's the first prophet?
I know that
you remember
tough
in
thing
the Old
for all
Testament.
Of us to swallow from time to time. You're forgiven.
Didn't she go and
you have a father and a family
lead
and
the army
in the
who,
kingdom
was that girl's
of
name?
God?
Who
in Christ? We have our forgiveness.
Isn't it interesting?
In
have
whom we have redemption.
I believe it's the fourth,
through his blood,
the
forgiveness
of
the sins.
Judges.
According to
and,
the riches of his grace.
They're having this problem with people
John
coming
1,
in, you know, the foreigners, people dominating
this is a
them
marvelous
in, and they're wanting relief.
Of scripture for us
and
to get a hold
Deborah
of. Behold
is
what manner
the word
of love
God.
The
now,
Father has
revealed the word of God.
As he says
is he standing up in
John,
front of the congregation and preaching?
Chapter 3.
It doesn't say that.
If
now,
we
she could reveal the word of God in a family
God.
Situation.
That's another thing.
She could reveal
we are
it one on one, you know.
We are God's
small
group, children.
Something like that.
We are no longer
but stand before Israel and say, you know,
this
marvelous
view
if you read that,
of a future that is
a man,
ours.
a leader of the country says, Deborah, we need a leader. Would you come forth and lead us? She didn't say,
I'm coming up and I'm going to be the leader.
If you are like I am.
She had a man come push her out.
I have difficulty.
And, you know, to do that. In the New Testament, we've got these four daughters of
I have to have
Noah,
somebody talk my who were prophesied every now and then about what ought to get
and,
done.
And there was a prophecy in
well,
the Old
today
Testament
is
concerning
memorial
the New Testament. And
day
the,
that we remember those
Spirit of God coming and
life.
Says, and your sons
I
and your
give
daughters
you a story
shall
about
prophesy.
A man who should have died but didn't die
okay.
during the Civil War.
Let him prophesy. But that
in
doesn't
my
mean
studies,
they're in the
that is
assembly,
in my pursuing
public
of my
assembly
own particular
preaching,
heritage.
That means that they're telling the word of
I
God.
I have found
somewhere.
A number of
I remember that Paul went and he was associated with a man and his wife in the mission field.
That somehow or another that David should all deny.
And it, as it first starts out, it's Aquila and Priscilla.
There have been all kinds of little
and they took
like
a man by the name of Silas. And taught him the Word of God more perfectly. They taught him the Word of God more perfectly.
I don't know if you know this name, John B. Gordon, but he was a wily
person. Presumed in the scripture in the recording, but it's Priscilla and Aquila.
He was one of the men.
That's a very small difference, but
Robert E.
Lee
always looked to get a job.
The dominant figure.
He was known as one
Paul,
of the best generals of
when
he
starts off
had.
On the mission, when Paul
by the way,
and
this is not a story about
Barnabas
Paul
are
Paul.
Going on the mission tour,
about that.
It's Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul until
he led
he
the last
to,
attack upon
Cyprus.
The enemy lines at the
situation.
Apophatic courthouse.
Saul
on that Sunday morning of 1865, when General
with
Lee
the
surrendered
magician,
his entire
and
command
from then on,
to Ulysses Grant.
Paul and Barnabas.
General Gordon, during his
days in service, let's get back to
was known because
the,
walked
the eldership. We're now in the third chapter, and after it says in verse 2
and
that he must be the husband of one wife, he uses the
over
word
and
temperate.
Over again, not to do that.
Have you ever heard of the temperance movement in the United States?
And the leader.
What's that about?
And he was taking great risks at losing his life.
Alcohol.
He ignored.
And the next step is mothers against drunk driving.
He was wounded
driving.
In one battle.
You know, and I'm not saying that those aren't valid movements.
He was shot in the
but,
leg.
I just want to put them down there that they we are
the
movements
way.
In
I don't know whether that was
our culture in the world.
Coincidence?
And they have an influence.
Or what? Muzzle balls,
here,
muzzle,
this version says
lead balls coming
that
at you. I don't know
that
how
the
that
elder
happened. But
must be
three kinds
I'm
of the same.
Change versions here. Just
he was shot in the shoulder.
I'm going to the Bible in basic English.
The final blow came in the
says,
left cheek and exiting out the right jaw, and he fell over into
he must
his face,
be self-controlled.
Into his cap. And the only thing that saved him
instead
from drowning in his own
self-control.
Blood was that the
let
cap
me go to
had
a different
a bullet
Bible.
Hole in it, and the blood drained out. They didn't
net,
think
they
would live beyond that.
N-E-T,
you talk
I
about
can't remember
tough,
what N-E-T stands for, but it says that he uses the word temperate also. Let's go
it
to
is.
Another one. I don't have too many here, but
General Gordon became,
the world
afterward,
English
became a candidate for the United States.
He uses
Senate.
The word temperate. So temperate, when you
one
think
of
the word
old
temperate,
veteran
you mean a temperate
who had
man.
Served under him had become
estranged
from
you
him
think about?
For some
well,
political
number
reason,
one, he's not drunk.
Being a member
okay.
of the legislature,
that's
he vowed
one.
That he would
but
do
beyond
everything
that, what is
in his power. See, that General Gordon didn't
temperate is mild, okay.
He started
anybody
to
else
rage
have an idea
against
that goes
his old commander
temper.
On every occasion.
Even tempered.
Until the day of
okay.
the convention. And when it came,
God.
This old veteran walked down the aisle toward the ballot
mature
box
through
with an anti-
Okay.
Anti-Gordon
that certainly is a valid idea here also.
But up on the platform.
In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 6 through 9,
Jesus,
Paul is making a reference to making clear
Gordon.
Decisions by avoiding
the
misuse
may
of wine.
Once now
and,
with all
this the idea is clear decisions,
battle,
not clouded by wine. You know,
with
but
the
it's
by
the emphasis
side,
is on the clear decision making.
Life
and that's
couldn't walk without
kind of
it.
The idea that I get from now, reading the sources on this particular word, it,
from those wounds of battle,
it's clear
the old veteran saw him,
and is not
as
messed
kid,
up by
begin to remember
misuse of
general
wine.
Walking
moderation in drinking, and we could add other appetites.
Tried for a moment to nerve himself, but it was
certainly,
no use. The sight
certainly
of the
is in order for the one who would be the example of Christian living. Now then, in light of the fact that a little bit later on, Paul is going to say that the in verse 3, you know, that he is not a drinker. I need to go back to the New American Standard Version with the
exhaustive. Here goes my vote for John B. Gordon. It was all over for me when I saw those scars.
In verse 3, it says not addicted to wine. So we've got the alcohol problem in verse 3. To deal with, but here we have the word temperate, and I think it is a broader.
I think that there are those of us.
Alcohol is not excluded from that idea, but it's the broader idea of good thinking and vigilant, sober-minded. I've given you a long series of scriptures to consult in connection with this. Hebrews, Timothy, Peter. You can look at those in your own.
I want to encourage you today to go back and read the story of the cross.
If you want to.
Remember what it means.
The next two words, I think, go together.
Let the old sad,
both sides of the same coin.
Come back. See again the scar
he says,
on his brow.
Prudent and respectful.
See the nail pierced.
That's the New American Standard Version. Prudent and respectful.
Wounds in his feet.
The first word there, prudent, you might think we kind of talked about it, is under the idea of the temperate, but it's more the wisdom idea. Good thinking, and that's where all this kind of overlapping here, but it's talking about good thinking. But this idea of respectable, I have a hard time finding, you know, understanding how they use that word respectable to translate this particular word.
There is no voice
from the
sad answers within. Dead to the world,
everybody knows
voices that call me. Living anew,
the universe. What about the universe?
Dead to the joy.
It's orderly. It's lined up. It follows all the natural laws that God has set up in the beginning. It's still following those laws, always will. And men get so puffed up, you know, they say, we have learned that we can take this law and put them together and come up with that. Wonderful. You're just manipulating God's laws. You're doing what God would do if he were, you know, you're made in God's image, so you could do things like that. But this word, it has the same root as that word cosmos, and not only order, but beauty. There's nothing more beautiful than nature. Have you ever seen, you've all seen pictures of space, and looking down at the world from the satellites, you know, beautiful, orderly. In this passage in 1 Timothy 3 and 2, cosmos carries with it a sense of decorum, even modesty, respectability. It comes from good judgment. And that's our first word up there. That it is prudent. You know, that he's temperate. No, prudent and respectful is what we're talking about. He's prudent, and that brings forth respectability. In Titus 2 and 5, Paul urges the young women to be sensible, and that's that same word we have here, prudent. And after telling them to love their husbands, and their children, and then he adds the idea of purity to it. So those ideas are very interesting when we're thinking about a man who is who are you looking for to be the leader in the church? He's got these characteristics about him, hopefully. To some degree, more than some others. The next word that is used here in this list is the word hospitable. If someone is hospitable, what are they? Well, let's start. I always start with the word, and what does it mean? The Greek word is built of two different words. Philo, we all know what philos means. That's love. Friendship type love. An attraction to one another because of common bonds. And then it has the word xenos, and that's the word for stranger. Stranger in what sense? They're not from around here, you know. The Israelites, under the law of Moses, were commanded, they were told, to treat strangers, foreigners among them, with respect and concern and goodwill. For what reason? It is because one time you were some strangers in Egypt, and you wanted people to treat you that way. And just to read back into it what Jesus said, you know, do unto others what you would like for them to do unto you. The love of strangers. Now, that's the literal translation. And, of course, that means, you know, you can apply that in different contexts of how it comes about. You know, the gospel is for all. Go into all the world. All who obey the gospel are in the family of God and in the kingdom of God. That makes us all brothers and sisters. We're not strangers, are we? What about these people over here versus these people over here? How about those people who come in Houston? We've been here from time, well, since 1976. And these people just got here last year, this year. Strangers, foreigners, they're brothers and sisters of Christ. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 43 through 48, that whole thing. But he said in just a little section of that, he said, if you love only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. In this context, talking about the perfection of God, what are we talking about? Who does God deal with? He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. You know. And we're supposed to be godlike. He even says, be perfect. We're to be sons of God. Now, when you use the term sons of God, you're the son of whatever, you know, you have the qualities of that person, of that thing that is you're the son of. You can think of a lot of different expressions from our vernacular that you can use that term, you know, son of God, son of other things. But we're called sons of God, and we're supposed to be like him, reigning, giving blessings to the good and the evil. And so it is that we are to be hospitable. But let's bring it down just a little bit closer. More than that, if you're hospitable, you have goodwill, concern, and respect towards everybody, and especially those whom you are acquainted with, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so maturity as a Christian is reflected in the way that people are treated. If you allow, or better, if you invite people into your living space at your home for protection, fellowship, sustenance, that's a godlike quality. Now, in the first century, that's where Christianity began. People obeying the Great Commission, going into all the world and preaching the gospel, we had itinerant traveling preachers, evangelists, going all over the world. Well, when you go from one place to another, and it takes more than a day, you're going to spend the night somewhere. There was no Best Western around. There was no Hilton around. There were some inns. You remember the innkeeper in the Old Testament? Who do you remember as the innkeeper in the Old Testament? Nobody remembers? How about Rahab? And what was her second name? What, Rahab the harlot. Inns in the first century, according to the commentaries that I read, were number one, dirty. They probably had bed bugs. And they were hot spots of immorality. So we've got a gospel preacher going around, and he's going and looking for a place to stay, so he goes over here to the Mary's Delight Hotel. That's not really a good thing. So he's looking for a place. Where is he going to go? The church is going to provide hospitality. I think that's probably a number one idea in hospitality in the New Testament. But there's more to it than that. You remember that on some occasions we read about the church that met in somebody's house. House churches. Those people were exercising hospitality. The whole congregation was invited in to their home to worship. Hospitable. Now then, today, you know, we want to encourage people to be hospitable. Sometimes we have, you know, just recently, we had a group come down from Oklahoma Christian University, and they needed some places. And some of you opened up your homes for some young people to spend the night with you. That was hospitality at work. And that's, we need to encourage that. But sometimes we don't have people coming in, but we've got, we used to do this. Do we still do this, Ned Ray? Do we have small groups? But there used to be several. And these small groups would meet where? In homes. People would open up their home and let a small group meet there for fellowship, for encouragement, for Bible study, hospital. It's a good thing. And we would encourage that. House churches were the norm in the New Testament. They didn't spend thousands and thousands of dollars for an edifice. They went to somebody's house, and they went out from there and preached the gospel. Very efficient. We are a little different in our 20th century. I'm not saying it's wrong, but there are some people, there's kind of a clique among some of the members of the church, you know, they're preaching and advocating returning to this idea of house churches and abandoning the establishment of large expensive building. Did you know that one of our air conditioners is going bad? We're going to have to replace it to the tune of $9,000. We could spend that money to buy airplane tickets and send you all to Africa to preach the gospel. But we're going to be cool. Yes, sir. We're going to be cool. Many circumstances today could well be served by people opening up their homes for worship services of the church, or at least for fellowship, and I said meals, parties, showers, Bible studies, and small group meetings. Well, our time is approaching the end, and I've got one more point to talk about today. No, two more times. The next idea in 1 Timothy 3 is this idea of apt to teach. I remember someone said to me, he's just as apt to teach as not. If you're an apt teacher, what are you? Well, I teach by example. There's nothing wrong with teaching by example. In fact, I remember one of the Psalms says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. That's true, isn't it? What do you learn about God from the heavens and the firmament? Well, we've already talked about beauty, order, and things of this nature. Where do you learn about the love of God that was so dynamic that it sent its only begotten Son that whosoever believed in him should be saved? How do you get that message? You've got to have some words. You have to have some specific instruction. And teaching involves teaching. Now then, I've said some things here. Let me just go back to my notes a little bit. It said, instruction assumes that the teacher knows something of what's being taught. I have to talk to myself here, you know. An elder is knowledgeable about the faith, the way, the light, the truth. Therefore, he should instruct others. A little bit later on, Paul's going to say that he's not a novice. In other words, he's experienced. The very word elder means that he's older. He's not a young fella. He's past that. He's made some decisions. He's made some mistakes and learned from them. Example is a great teaching method, but and you've all heard, you know, the statement, I'd rather see a sermon today than hear one. You know, well, that's true. But there's more to it. Teaching implies intentionally imparting instruction using words. You remember the Great Commission, found in two primary places, and it's kind of implied in Luke 24:47. It's to tell the story of Jesus to those who do not know it, with the intent to make new disciples. And Matthew 28:20 says, after you've taught them and baptized them, what are you supposed to do? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have taught you. And we always go back to John 8:31-32. Jesus, looking around to those who believed on him, said, if you would truly be my disciples, you'd be my disciples indeed. You'll continue in my word, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You've got to continue in the word. It's a lifetime study. You know a little bit. You know a little bit more the next time you go through it. You learn some more the next time. In Acts 20 and 28, and also in 1 Peter 5 and 2, talking about eldership, they're encouraged to feed the flock. How does an eldership feed the flock? Well, I had kind of a tongue-in-cheek, but I said, it's more than seeing that Sunday school happens. Tommy, we need to stand up here and teach, don't we? You know, you are an elder. You need to use your words to tell somebody what it's all about. What is Christianity? What does it mean to you? And how has it affected your life? And how did you get here? And all that. All Christians are to be lifetime students of the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, we'll study this a little bit later, but it says, the modern version says, give diligence. You know, the old King James Version said, study. And I still think that's a good idea. You can't give much diligence unless you do a little study. Now then, I made a statement here, the last statement in this paragraph, and remember that a doctor is one who is able to teach. We've taken that word and limited it to the medical field. If you get a PhD, you are able to teach. And so I'm saying here, elders should be doctors, not medical or formally as in academia, but as mature Christians who are continuing in the words of Jesus, knowing the truth, and thus are able to teach. You're not just young people going out. Now then, next week, we're going to begin with this last paragraph, not addicted to wine. We've already talked about that a little bit, but wine is a problem. Alcohol is a problem. Let me just, as we've got just about 4 minutes before the next bell rings. And this is, I've put a lot in my notes here, but just to kind of spark your idea, spark your attention is, you know, I think that the church has been greatly influenced by the temperance movement. Maybe even more than the scriptures would influence us. I personally have been influenced by the temperance movement from my family and association with others. You know, I get nervous, all shaky, when I read that Jesus turned water into wine. What? Why did he do that? Now, I'm not denying it, and I'm not saying it was wrong. I'm just saying, in my experience, I get nervous when I get to teaching that concept. And I hear Paul telling Timothy, quit being a water drinker only and get your wine bottle out and use a little wine because you got stomach problems. Personally, this is not a law. I didn't get it out of the Bible. I do not drink beer, wine, liquor, anything like that intentionally. I don't do it. It's my own personal opinion. And now I've done a little thinking about this. Right? In our families, we've got some people that are alcoholics. I've got those same genes in me. That's on the other side of the family, too. It comes in both sides. If I start drinking, how likely am I to be an alcoholic? Well, I'm not going to say that I will be, but the potential is there. And if I do not imbibe alcohol, I won't have that problem. And my family won't have that problem. And so I've made the decision. I'm not a drinker. I don't drink. You can drink if you want to, a little bit, in moderation, especially if you have stomach. We'll talk about this more in detail this next time. I just kind of added that in. My personal statement, that's the last statement down there. The instruction for an elder in the church is don't be addicted to wine. And the deacon is not be addicted to much wine. What the difference is, we'll let you think about that. Having said that, we'll begin with that paragraph next week, the Lord willing. And that'll be the last week that I'll teach for another week. I'm going to have Brother Ray Hall will have the next class after. I'll teach next week. Then the next week, Brother Ray Hall is going to have it. And then I think somebody else is going to have to teach the next week because my wife's got family. You know, they have reunions and they have set up. So I'm going to jump out. We get the wanderlust again. We're going to go back across Louisiana. Thank you very much for your attention today, and you are dismissed.